All right. Welcome, 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 my friends, to another Mastermind Q&A session for you guys in the Extreme Health Academy. Thanks so much for being here. A lot of cool people here. I see Shelly from Australia. I love this guest, 7391. Thomas is here. Gunther is here. Justine McLeod all the way from Scotland. Leslie Gilbert is here from Georgia. Adele is here. She's from up in L.A. A lot of really cool people here. Thanks, guys, for joining us. I hope you guys can all hear us and see us okay. Doc, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. I hope somebody's here from the state of Washington. I know there's a state of emergency up there. There's 30 kids that have measles.
Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do about this, Doc? It's a pandemic.
Yeah, forget about the 1 in 38 that got autism. Okay, let's just look at
that. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Yeah, you were just telling me before we started recording about your latest True Health Tuesday talk that went kind of viral, right?
Yeah. It gets posted in a couple of days on YouTube, and so it's going to go nuts. I'm doing another one Tuesday. It'll be live on Facebook, and it's going to be how dangerous is measles? You know, is it 1 in 1,000 kids that die or 0.2 per 100,000?
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm going to bring up the facts and data on that so that well, I mean, those that want to be educated will say, oh, it is okay. And those that don't, oh, it's evil, evil.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny, Doc, that I was going to do something on our Extreme Health Radio about it pretty soon. I have some PubMed articles here. Check this out. This is one here that says measles virus for cancer therapy. You probably heard about this, right? Oh, they're using measles to help reverse cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ed, there's about 22 different articles I found that show the benefits of actually getting an infection. It reduces your cancer rate. It reduces malaria. It reduces cardiovascular diseases. It's a good workout for the immune system.
Yeah, there's another article here on I have on PubMed, febrile infectious childhood diseases in the history of cancer patients and matched controls. So the whole study is showing exactly what you just said. Crazy.
it's going to be fun. I'm going to bring that up Tuesday.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun. All right, guys. Well, if you guys are in the chat room, let me pop on over there and let us know if you can hear us. And Catherine, thank you so much for your first question. And thanks for writing it in all caps. I appreciate that. Okay, so Catherine wants to know, is there a way that I can sweat faster in my far infrared sauna? I have to be in there for about 20 minutes before I sweat.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see how many bowel movements a day she gets, but proper hydration would be a good thing. So make sure she's drinking tons of water and a good plant-based mineral supplement. And then that way the body will be able to detox through that that sweating aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Some of this is just normal, right, Doc? Like when I'm in the sauna during the winter, it might take me 15 minutes, whereas in the summer, I'm sweating in 5 minutes. So it's could be a seasonal thing too, right?
Yeah, because you're drying out. If the heater's on, your whole body is drying out. Mm-hmm. And so more hydration and minerals.
Yeah, Catherine, you may want to try eating some fat as well, because I know that what happens when you sit in the sauna is your fat cells start to oscillate. And so if you're feeding your body good fat, there could be some beneficial pathways that you could open up. And I've also heard too, Doc, maybe you've heard this as well. With sweating, a lot of times when people can't sweat, it's a heavy metal toxicity. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's sweating is a sign of good health or a sympathetic dominant problem. You know, hyperhidrosis, but absolutely heavy metals are going to toxify the body and can get embedded in tissues.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Here's a question for you, Doc. Guest 2386 wants to know, how do we heal pain, swelling in the knee? And then he has colon patella tendonitis.
Colon patella tendonitis?
No, I'm sorry. How to heal?
Well, for he has to remove his knee from the rectum of whoever it's in.
Oh my gosh! Switching up body parts here. How to heal? Let's see. How to heal pain, swelling in the knee? So it sounds just like swelling in the knee, patella tendonitis.
Totally cool.
Yeah.
There's going to be an unstable pelvis because the patella it has a tracking mechanism that goes right up and down the bone on top called the femur. And there could be a low back issue that causes that quadriceps, because you got vastus medialis, lateralis, and, you know, those are the main ones that are firing off based on the nerves that supply it. So there could be a low back disc injury, an unstable pelvis. For sure, there's going to be loss of dorsiflexion, or if that foot can't lift up. So have them check out the knee and foot health video, because you've got to get the calf working correctly. And then just dangling the knee with a weight, and the weight's got to be pretty significant. If you're a small frame girl, like 5 pounds, if you're a normal guy, like 10 or 20 pounds, to open up that knee joint to create a negative pressure. Because it's not that the knee is swollen, it's there's always blood flowing to it and blood flowing away. So it's some of those, it's like a super filtrate of blood, which is what synovial fluid is. So those things that are draining it are causing not function correctly. Uh-huh. And you use heat on the knee, not ice, because we want to rush blood to the area to increase that synovial fluid production. But you got to get the low back checked for patellar tracking.
Good stuff. Swelling in the knee. Okay. So you want to work with the body, right? And not try to reduce inflammation all the time. Sometimes inflammation is a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Systemic inflammation means the whole body is inflamed. Local inflammation is how the body heals. Okay. Systemic inflammation, you know, we can go out, get a Carl's Jr., some fries cooked in hydrogenated oil. All of that will damage the intestinal tract and damage your whole body. And then that systemic inflammation is not good.
Okay, good stuff. All right, Shelley from Australia. This is what's funny about Australia. In Australia, they have spiders that can kill you. They have snakes and crocodiles. They have all kinds of poisonous animals down there. She wants to know, how would you treat a necrotizing, arachnidism, basically a spider bite. So it sounds like there's some issues going on with a spider bite there.
The big thing with that is you got to put moist heat on it immediately, because it's not just the venom in the spider bite. There can be some bacteria in there, and viruses, funguses, and bacteria die at a higher temperature. What happens is in that bite, the venom can be so toxic that it starts to break down and destroy the tissue. That's the necrotizing aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So by diffusing, putting heat on there, you're diffusing the poison, and then it's not as the body can handle it a lot better than if it's just in a local response, which can start to eat away the tissue. Oh, and there's also a video that I posted, and I found out it's illegal. It can't be seen in Australia or Thailand, and it's a video on aluminum deposits vaccine.
So how does that tie into like a spider bite and the necrotizing of tissue?
No, it ties into Australia.
Oh, that's a weird connection.
well, it's interesting, because if like right now the media that we're talking to people on, it's being censored.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that a movie talking about aluminum deposits inside of the vaccines is censored in Australia, just to make people aware that there's certain things that other people can see in other countries that they can't in theirs.
Right. That makes sense. A couple ideas, Doc, and tell me what you think about this for this type of issue. So we've had a few doctors on the show talk about ultraviolet blood irradiation. And then there's another doctor that talked about MMS, specifically with like staph infections and putting local MMS. I think they put it in like a gas kind of form, and they put it over something like a spider bite. And then I've heard doctors talk about ozone and homeopathics for stuff like this. But I'm not too familiar with ultraviolet blood irradiation, but I've heard it's good for things like this. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, we used to use UV light to treat diabetic wounds back when I was in the clinic at school. It has fantastic antimicrobial properties. So if the spider bite's been there for a while, where it's starting to open up and get an open gaping wound, that's when, you know, hydrogen peroxide, the ozone, UV light, I mean, all of that stuff would be ideal.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So I think we're going to move on to Thomas. So guys, what we're going to do is we have a whole list of questions that you guys have submitted via email. But what I want to do is sort of reward those of you that are here live in the chat room so that We have more people live every week. So because you are proactive about taking care of your health and you're not getting ready for the Super Bowl, let's answer some of your questions. I love that. Thomas wants to know. Thomas is in Mexico right now, and he says, I have two questions. I've heard that organic castor oil can repair cataracts, but all the brands say in small print for external use only. What are your thoughts? My second question, my wife has a ruptured PCL in the left knee. What can she do to heal naturally without surgery? Okay, so let's take the castor oil question first.
Okay, the castor oil, I don't know how it would help the eye, but it does have some good properties. And topically, it's fantastic. Typically, if you take it inside, your body's going to want to get rid of it quickly. And so it's used to induce diarrhea, to clean out your intestinal tract, which could detox the body. That would make sense. For eyes, you look at astaxanthin.
Mm.
Yeah, say that three times really fast. Yeah, but it, just about any antioxidant. But also, too, what's wild is the more you move the eye, so like if you keep your head in one position and move the eyes one way, the other way, up and down, and, you know, like follow a clock, that's going to start to move the muscles around the eye, and that'll also get more blood supply to it and make the tissue healthy. There's also an eye adjustment, which you can do, and it's kind of weird, where you would close your eyes and you put either side just barely enough pressure to feel a difference. And if you feel an area of resistance, you just keep gently pressing your fingers like that, and you're actually going to start to work that tissue in the eye. That'll increase vitreous humor production, and that'll help get the eye working correctly.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. And Thomas, just as a little resource, you guys might want to check out this brand new thing that we sort of rolled out, and we're going to be updating every month, called the Health Database. And so it's a part of the website at the very top that you can scroll through and sort of look into every different tab and find questions to or answers to all the questions that we've ever done. So I know there's an area in there for eye health as well. So you might want to consider looking at that. And just as an aside, Doc, I've heard a lot of people on our show talking about using castor oil in their eyes, even though it says in small print for external use only. I've heard nothing but good things, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's like the diatomaceous earth, you know, clay, all of that stuff. It says for external use only, but it's fantastic for taking internally.
Okay, Thomas's second question is, this is a little something that I have a little bit of experience with, but he wants to know about his wife and how she can heal a PCL left knee. Is there anything she can do to avoid surgery?
Yeah, even partial tears. Okay, because that's more than likely what it is, because they're going to get the information from an MRI, and inflammation distorts the picture in the MRI. So unless you do the drawer test, which, you know, you have the knee like this and you pull it forward and then you push it back, if the knee actually moves a whole bunch or if it just moves a little bit, it's just been injured. And then do the leg dangling exercise where you put a great weight on it and just dangle it. Don't lift it up, but just dangle it. So it's just a little bit more than 90 degrees. So 100 degrees either way would be fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Doc. I've been doing that for my shoulder because I went through your course, the whole body restorative exercises, and I watched the video you did with the shoulder, because I have a torn, a rotator cuff in my left shoulder, and it gets aggravated when I work out. And so I've been doing the exercise that you talk about, and that's been helping a lot.
Oh yeah, that's cool, because that baby will reform the labrum and maintain the integrity of that humerus.
Mm-hmm. And Thomas, one other thing for your wife, I myself have my body about 10 years ago tore my ACL in my right knee about 80% according to the MRI when I was doing jiu-jitsu and I was helping a guy train for a tournament, and my left or my right knee just buckled. So what I did before I knew most of the stuff I know now, I had some prolozone ozone therapy injected into my knee. And you can look for places on acam.org for people and practitioners that will do what they call ozone therapy. And I got ozone There's prolozone, there's regenikine, there's stem cells. You can get all these things sort of injected into your knee. I've never done most of those, just the ozone, and it works like wonders. So look into ozone therapy. And there's so many ways, Doc, to avoid surgery, isn't there?
Yeah, and then also look at the altered mechanics. There's going to be a dysfunction of the calf. There's probably loss of dorsiflexion of the foot. There may be an unstable pelvis. There's going to be some contributing factors because a ligament just doesn't get damaged.
Exactly, exactly. So hopefully, Thomas, that helps you out a little bit. Gunther wants to know, spouse. His spouse has painful bladder disease, low cholesterol, 116 milligrams over deciliter, very low LDL. Let's see, I tried... So plant-based juicing, blending, started eating 2 to 4 eggs every day. Can I raise the levels through food at all? Recommendations to raise it to avoid brain damage. Doc, you know, there's a doctor, you're probably familiar with Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She's a great doc. And she talks about like people as they get older should have cholesterol levels, like the higher the better. So she talks about like 300 as a total cholesterol as you get into your 60s and 70s. And this person has a good point to avoid brain damage, right? You don't want your cholesterol levels getting too low, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just increase the healthy fats. Omega-3s would be ideal. The gallbladder might be dysfunctional. She may need to take some digestive enzymes in order to break it down, but get on a lot of healthy fats. And then for a local bladder stuff, she's going to have an unstable pelvis, so she's got to get to a corrective chiropractor. Putting moist heat, right, the front bone is called pubis bone, right in the middle, and the bladder's right behind that. So if you put moist heat penetrates about 2 inches. That helps a lot. And then, you know, the tart cherry juice. There's also D-mannose, which is fantastic for bladder infections. But look at the weakening of the tissue in that area. And then when her cholesterol level goes up, then she'll have better hormone production as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting with cholesterol. Cholesterol, if I'm not mistaken, Doc, is like the majority of the cholesterol that we have in our body is not from the food that we eat, but it's from the creation of it in the liver, right? So wouldn't you want to think about like supporting good liver health?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because 80% of the body's total overall cholesterol is produced in the liver. So low cholesterol, you got to look at a little bit of diet and a lot of the body. Mm-hmm. So that's where the digestive enzymes are going to come in because figure the liver is a giant enzyme factory. And if that baby can't break if the gallbladder is not healthy, you're not getting the fats for the fatty acids. So you don't have the raw materials to rebuild that cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good liver health. What about coffee enemas and things like milk thistle and certain oils to help the liver? Do you think those are good too?
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. That would be ideal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Adele. I love Adele. She's awesome. She says here, she's up in LA and she says here, my husband and I started iodine therapy on Dr. David Brownstein's protocol, major detox. My husband had a bout of freezing one night and could not get warm and as well as a fever, which was very scary. I had gastrointestinal stuff on and off. Any comments on this? My husband has Hashimoto's. I have low thyroid. That's why we started. But now we are kind of scared. We take all the nutritional cofactors that Dr. Brownstein suggested. I even did the loading test. So what do you think about this, Doc?
Yeah, the big thing with Hashimoto's, it's a leaky gut. That's it. So healing the gut is going to be vital. So Hashimoto's just means that when you're taking gluten or casein proteins, you know, grain or dairy, those undigested proteins get into the bloodstream, and then the body looks at that foreign protein as damaging. And so it builds antibodies towards it, and then that can negatively affect the thyroid. That's why Hashimoto's isn't hypo and it's not hyper, it's both.
I see.
So the thyroid goes like crazy. So healing the gut is the key. So gluten-free, dairy-free. Also, the water trick is going to be ideal to start helping the gut. That means that you drink, you know, about 16 to 24 ounces of water, hot, almost as hot as tea. You get that bolus of water in your gut, so you got to drink it down within the space of a minute. Put your elbows on a kitchen counter, stand away, and then force your stomach out and then force it in, so your tummy's hanging in the air. And then that'll force the blood or the water through that, and the body's going to rush blood to the intestinal tract to initiate healing.
Awesome, awesome, cool. And Adele, you might want to look into the work of Dr. Ray Peet. He has some interesting ideas about thyroid health as well that you may not have heard before. He's a pretty interesting guy there.
Oh, good God. Ray Peet, man, you could not get a better thyroid guy.
Yeah, he's awesome, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, he's awesome. Okay, guest 4655, husband has progesterone and estrogen positive breast cancer. Okay, I think we tackled some of this in the forum a while back. We are choosing the natural path, curcumin, B17, juicing, fermented foods, essential oils, raw food, low carb, even the juicing is low carb, looking into a far infrared sauna. The cancer is localized in the breast, 1.9 centimeter tumor. Any other suggestions? Also, her HER2 negative. Okay, so this is an interesting question, Doc. This is a breast cancer in a male.
Oh, yeah. That's getting more and more common with the endocrine disruptors. It's just a female hormones that we're exposed to in plastic. Now, if it's on the right side, look at more dental, like cavitations, mercury, root canals, things like that, and lung issues. If it's lung issues, then here there's going to be a problem with the neck for sure. So neck and upper thoracic area. So he's got to get the structure checked for sure. If it's on the left side, that's typically has to do with gut or a leaky gut issue, because all the lymph, the whole gut drains to the upper left quadrant. And knowing that it's that endocrine-based tumor, it's more than likely going to be gut issues. Mm-hmm. So healing the gut, getting the gut cleaned, all the diet and stuff that they're doing is really, really good. Also applying local heat to that area. Okay, because that's going to rush blood to the area, and that's going to start to help decrease the response to the body, because the tumor is the expression of the problem, not the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem with all different types of cancers, because we all get cancer all the time, is that the body is walling off toxins. So you got to look at the toxins that the guy's been exposed to, you know, like antibiotic use in the past, dental issues, and toxic food. And then you eliminate all of those, then you get the body a chance to build it back up. I totally recommend getting a thermography of mm-hmm. The whole body. And then that way you've got an objective analysis to monitor how fast you're getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doc, it's interesting. This is sort of coming up a lot now. And, you know, I would recommend, check out some of the forums. We've done a lot of question and answer in the forums about breast cancers. There's a lot of information there. And then also, if you go into the health database under conditions, the conditions tab, and then the letter B for breast cancer, there should be a lot of information where we tackle that stuff there. But yeah, it's really definitely an interesting question. And Doc, you know what is something I heard recently on our show is that one of the docs was saying that when you use chemotherapy and radiation, you probably already know this, I'm sure. But what happens is that he described breast cancer or any tumor sort of like a fight going on in a bar, like at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's a fight that breaks out, right? There's all these people watching the fight, right? And there's two guys fighting in a big crowd, right? And so what he was saying was this chemotherapy radiation, what it does, it sort of works on tumor debulking. So it gets rid of the crowd, but it actually just makes the stem cells of the cancer even more angry. And the stem cells are the two guys that are fighting. That's the real problem, right? So I thought that was an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, a bar fight analogy on cancer, it works.
It works, doesn't it? But it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense that it doesn't do anything. It breaks down, it debulks the tumor, but it doesn't do anything but make the stem cells even angrier.
Yeah, because it goes on the chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery still go back on the antiquated view that the tumor is actually the problem. Mm-hmm. When, you know, then they always go, oh, it's spread to this organ, or it's, no, it's already in the entire system. So you have to get the nervous system working correctly. You got to change the sleep patterns, get as many antioxidants in the system as you possibly can, you know, eliminate all the toxins you can. The far infrared sauna is going to be ideal. Direct sunlight, elevation levels of vitamin D, particularly when you're talking about breast cancer, D3 would be ideal. sun lamp, sun exposure, direct heat application. I mean, there's so many things you can do to strengthen the immune system response, eliminating the intelligent response of a breast tumor. Mm-hmm. That's not the disease.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like your way of looking at that. The body's always healing. Guest 7391 says here, hey doc, have you had any chiropractic success with children with severe narcolepsy with cataplexy?
Yes. Yeah. The toughest thing is that's generally a vaccine reaction, and they've known that since the early 70s. So it's a seizure. It's a brain issue. And if the brain gets too much stimulation, it shuts down. It's kind of like if you scare someone and they faint. Okay, so if the autonomic nervous system senses danger or too much information into the brain, then the brain shuts down. So it is a seizure response, even though it's they just knock out.
Okay.
So knowing that the brain has a neuroplastic effect, it's more than likely coming from some type of neurotoxins, and vaccines are the most common type now. So heavy metal detox, healing the gut will be ideal, but also symmetrical exercises. Get the kid walking, cross crawl. If you're in an area that you could walk barefoot, you know, Chicago wouldn't be it right now. But, you know, just to get symmetrical movement, symmetrical stimulation will get the brain to regenerate the tissue. And then lots of healthy fats, lots of omega-3s.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Gunther wants to know, we are pregnant. Cod liver oil, extra virgin is okay for raising vitamin D? That's kind of a question. A and D. What about heavy metals and alternatives? I'm not sure what you mean, Gunther, by alternatives. Like,
you know what? Probably because talking about the heavy metals in the cod liver in the fish.
Oh, I see. Okay,
that might make sense. Cod liver oil is pretty safe. The safest one is going to be the small fish: anchovy, mackerel, and sardine.
Okay.
And then they have microfish or micro filters. What is it? There's a brand out of Canada done by James Chestnut, who's microfiltered. There's going to be a bunch of brands out there that are microfiltered small fish oil that eliminate as many heavy metals as you possibly can.
Okay. Hey, Cool Doc, what do you recommend for, like, when Kate was pregnant, they wanted to put her on prenatals and all this stuff. But what we did is we use this product called Intramax, which is 419 vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, all kinds of cool stuff. And what they did at Drucker Labs, it takes them like 4 months to make one bottle of this stuff. And it's wrapped in a fulvic acid a layer, so your body actually recognizes it as food. If someone's pregnant, what kind of nutrition? Is there any supplements that you would recommend that someone might want to consider?
The best one is getting it from food sources. That Intramax is out of this world. That's a great product. And lots of dark green leafy vegetables, so the folate gets up there. Just healthy, organic, plant-based nutrients. And lots of the animal fat omega-3s for healthy brain development of the kid, and avoid any toxins. Like if the mom has mercury fillings, cavitations, those, if she's going to take them out while she's pregnant, definitely, they got to do the vitamin IV, the Huggins protocol. If not, just do everything you want, because people have been giving birth for a long, long time without prenatals, and they did it with just eating normal food.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. Guest 2386 wants to know, Doc, what are your thoughts about this keto craze? Is it a viable diet?
It is, but the challenge is you want to get to where your body is metabolizing the fats. So, but you don't want to get used to it. So the 3 weeks on, 1 week off is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's the healthy fats are one of the best things out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's a lot of stuff going on with keto craze. And now there's people that are, trying to live 100% in ketosis. And there's different products that are out there, like Prove It, and different ketones that you could take to keep your body burning essentially fat. But, Doc, I see the value in that, but for me, I mean, I don't follow a keto diet. You know, I think it would be valuable to do every now and then to sort of kind of reset your body, but I don't know.
Yeah, just an increase in healthy fats. Mm-hmm. You know, last night I had some green beans that were just organic, cooked down with some great tomatoes, and then I sliced up an avocado on top. So, you know.
That's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Derek wants to know, why does my hip pop on one side when I raise my knee towards my chest? I'm wondering if he's laying down or just walking.
Boy, if he's walking while he's got his leg up to his chest, that's a talented guy.
Yeah, I know, right? Hand-eye coordination.
Way better than I could do. Yeah, so popping of any joint means that there's an altered mechanics to the joint or altered blood supply to the joint. It just means that it's sloshing around. So he may have an unstable pelvis for sure. He might have altered firing of the quadriceps because that quadriceps comes right over the top of that hip joint to extend the lower leg and to, you know, then you got sartorius. You get a bunch of biomechanic muscles in there that are doing their job. Unstable pelvises are hugely important, particularly if he has spasms of the gluteus medius on the other side.
Okay.
So was it the right leg that's popping?
He didn't say, but he said he is working with his chiropractor to help rotate his PI left hip, he said.
Okay, yeah. Then there's going to be a missed lumbar disc. Okay, and the lumbar disc is going to be a contributing factor. What they got to do is take a bending film of the low back, bending film both sides, to identify the altered mechanics. Because if you're always adjusting the pelvis, it means that you're missing something.
Okay.
And then do the foot and knee health video so you can stretch the calf and get that working correctly to alter the mechanics of when you're walking.
Okay, cool. Okay. And I think, Doc, did you do any videos on our course, Whole Body Restorative Exercises on your gait and walking correctly? Did you do a video on that?
Pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then we've got a whole video on walking and how important that is.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Let's see here. Guest 5575, a question. Make sure you guys, if you can, to put your questions in all caps. That way I can make sure and not miss them. But you say here, I wonder if you know anything about the, gosh, I don't even know, WOSCOPS study that shows positive results by using Prevastatin? And it's possible that we live in Sweden, have better statin drugs than you have. I don't believe the results. Gosh, that's out of my league, Doc.
Well, any statin drug is going to lower cholesterol.
Okay.
Okay, and so there's like a ridiculously rare condition on familial hypercholesterolemia.
Oh, right.
And this is, you're talking less than 1 in 1,000,000. Okay, so you got a better chance of getting struck by lightning a couple of times. But for the general public, we need cholesterol. And cholesterol, the body is self-healing and self-regulating. So cholesterol's up. It means that the body is under stress. There's some kind of inflammatory process going on, or they need hormone production. Mm-hmm. So it's not, cholesterol's never the bad guy, mm-hmm. unless you're that 1 in 1,000,000 chance. Mm-hmm. And even that, I'd be kind of suspect of it, because to bring everybody's cholesterol levels down, you figure if it's familial cholesterol, I mean, we've had people in their mid to late 90s that had cholesterol levels of 350, 400, 500, 600.
Wow.
And they're 95, 96, and that's normal for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, super important to realize that. Okay, cool. Catherine wants to know, Doc, what do you think of Nuka Chiropractic for unstable hips?
For unstable hips, they might be missing it. Nuka is one of the best techniques out there. They do an x-ray analysis of the upper cervical, but they only do the upper cervical aspect, which is super important because that surrounds the brainstem. It could alter the mechanics of the pelvis, but what you can do to identify it is get a trochanter support. Have your Nuka chiropractor order you a trochanter support. And this is just a white belt that goes around the 1 inch below the top of the iliac crest, stabilizes that pelvis. And also, too, look at when you're sitting. The foam piece that you're using, Justin, is ideal mm-hmm. to change sitting. So that will help stabilize the pelvis. trochanter support will help stabilize the pelvis. And then that way, adjusting C1 may be ideal. If not, there could be a secondary lumbar or disc issue where you need to get bending films of the low back.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Doc. A while back when Mike and I and Kate were doing a members hangout, he talked about for stabilizing your pelvis while you're sitting. I don't know why I've heard this before, but you know, some things you just don't hear until, you know, three or four times. It takes a few years to really get it. But, he was saying to sit forward in your chair, like put your butt almost at the end of the chair and spread your knees apart like a man does on a subway, you know, and takes up all the spots. But that is better for sitting, right?
I'll even tell people to sit like a cowboy, you know, with the back of the chair in front of you, so your legs are out really wide.
Okay, right.
And so that makes it easier because girls are taught, you know, don't sit like that. You're going to attract the wrong kind of guy. But getting the legs out will get those femurs to help approximate the pelvis, and that'll help a lot.
Okay, cool. Doc, do you want to take a question about cats?
Sure.
Okay, this may be out of
it was
both
one
of our
favorite plays.
Right?
Touch me. Oh, you mean the little furry animals?
The little ones with the claws. Yeah,
oh,
the teeth.
Sure, man.
Oh, man. Shelly wants to know. She's down in Australia. She says, a feline question. Okay, so here's a little scenario she has here. One boy cat mated with three of her girl cats, and they all had kittens that died a few days after birth, and one of the moms died too. So the other girls are now sterile. So one of the three girls' cats died, and the other two are sterile from mating with this boy cat. And then she says, just when I was perfecting breeding miniature Tonkinese, any ideas on how to fix infertility in cats? I've checked one girl but had no suggestions. I don't know. What do you think, Doc?
Well, one of the toughest parts, okay, and this may be a contributing factor or may not be, cats aren't normally like that. And when you get down to the specific breeds, you're starting to get more and more and more inbreeding. And then that's when you get problems. That's why, bulldogs have certain joint problems, Great Danes have certain joint problems, and I'm sure that translates over into the cats when you're starting to, you know, breed one specific type of, you know, furless, like the Dr. Evil type of cat. Mm-hmm. We actually have two patients that have them. They're,
oh my gosh,
bizarre looking. Okay, but you know, to get that, you know, that. Species segregated and inbred, that could be one of the contributing factors. You might want to talk to somebody in your group of cat breeders, mm-hmm. to get another male cat. Okay, you know, it's a Super Bowl party, so you know.
You know, it's funny with cats in this type of situation. I don't know why this comes up, but I'm just wondering, like, toxicity possibly, or exposures to electromagnetic field radiation. I mean, that's affecting a lot of our biology these days, and I just wonder.
Oh, so, you know what? Do you remember the Weston A. Price?
Mm-hmm.
There was a Price Pottinger. Pottinger did cat studies. Oh. Where he would feed the cats cooked meat and feed the cats raw meat. And sure enough, within three generations, they were sterile. So look at the Price-Pottinger cat studies.
So, Doc, was this one of the ones that were sterile were the ones eating the cooked meat?
Yep.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it might be just diet related. I check up the Pottinger study because they were trying to see that an abnormal diet for that species had a negative effect on that species reproducing.
Okay. Let's see here. Guest 3799 wants to address some ideas of, wow, Dr. Ray Pete, i.e., so Dr. Pete he's a wild guy. He's out there. He says, eat sugar for health. Omega-3s are dangerous. He's against fermented foods. I think he's also against iodine too. He has an interesting following, Adam Bergstrom, but it's confusing to me. So what are your thoughts about all that, Doc?
Yeah, I like Ray Peet's. He's got one of the most brilliant thyroid issues or thyroid studies. So for thyroid information, I think the guy is like no peer. And when he makes a statement, he has a tremendous amount of references. But the omega-3s, particularly the animal fat-based omega-3s, I think the studies far outweigh any negative effects of those. Unless the source of the omega-3s has to be from or is from some type of toxic animal, like factory farmed omega-3s, and then knowing that the fish have leukemia, that omega-3 is probably not going to be really healthy. You know, shark liver omega-3s would be devastatingly bad because that's an extreme predator with a lot of heavy metals in there. So I'd be curious about the source of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people. We've had Adam Bergstrom on the show. We've had a lot of people that have been followers of Dr. Ray Peet on the show as well. And they talk a lot about PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, and how they are detrimental to our health in the form of omega-3. So it's interesting. There's a lot of people saying one side versus another side, but ultimately it comes down to not really following any one person, but looking at the studies and doing some research and actually seeing how your body feels. That's the ultimate test, right, Doc?
Absolutely. The metabolic typing is the best. You eat something, you feel lethargic or upset tummy, that ain't good for you. You eat something and you can metabolize it and you feel great and up, then it's good for you.
So guest 5575, this is an interesting question because I'm wondering if other people would want us to do this too, in particular you to do this, Doc. Maybe there's something here, I'm not sure. But he says here, is it possible to send information about the products I use, omega-3 and a multivitamin, to have your comments on them? Do you think that would be a good thing to do, Doc, or is that something that...
That is a really good idea. I mean, like this morning I took about 30 spirulina.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, you know, just to start the day. And then I had my organic coffee, you know, some water, and I would have had my omega-3s. That's what I was looking over at the refrigerator thinking, you know, I got to get my omega-3s today.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder, but then again, it's difficult because products can change, formulations can change, and what happens a lot is, you know, one company will sell out to a major other company, like Mark Sisson's Primal Kitchen has now sold out to, gosh, I think Kraft. And so when companies get taken over, it's hard. Then you got to redo another video about their products because they change the formulation. So it's tricky, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Question. I have this standing discussion with my nutrition teachers, and they send me the WOSCOPS study, and I try to find what the real study shows. Oh, gosh, I don't know, Doc. Do you know anything about that WOSCOPS study and cholesterol or statins? It's WOSCOPS, and I try to find what the real study shows. So I think what they're saying here is there's a study suggesting that this statin drug actually lowers cholesterol.
Oh, okay. It's West Scotland Coronary Prevention Study in the Lancet. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Coronary prevention. It's probably going to be that they gave cardiovascular, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, they gave a placebo followed by Prevastin, and I followed them up for 5 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Maybe we can look into that for this person.
Yeah,
it might be something we have to research.
I love this stuff.
Derek wants to know, he says, I see talks on removing a root canal, but what can be done for an abscess tooth before you have a root canal removed?
Oil pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And I got some info on that study. I just read down to the bottom of it.
Oh, cool.
It showed that the placebo group, God knows what the placebo was because it didn't list it, but had a 10% higher risk of coronary events after 5 years. So 5 years of taking a drug, 90% of the population had no effect.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the same as the placebo. 10%. So this is why you got to look at studies. So when it says that 10% reduction in coronary events. Okay, but 90% of the placebo group and the control group, they had no difference. But they would have experienced the negative effects of dementia and increased cancer risk, which is what we know the statins do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so West Scotland something something. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. What was the other question?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, this was about the root canal. So he knows about root canal, but what can be done for an abscess tooth before you have a root canal?
Oh, oil pulling, direct application of heat, getting appropriate nutrients, but the oil pulling is ideal.
Mm-hmm. And one thing too, we just got back from our biological dentist. We took a week trip to drive to Texas with our little twins and, to see our biological dentist. And he was recommending, using a water pick and using in that water pick, there's three different substances he recommended, diluting in the water of a water pick. And he was saying one is colloidal silver. The other one is hydrogen peroxide. And then the other one is apple cider vinegar. And he recommended what you do is you do one day where you do a water pick with one of those substances. And then the next day you do a different one. So you sort of switch it around. And that helps with obviously, killing all of the bacteria in the mouth that are causing these spirochetes that could, lead to brain issues and things. So,
wow. Fantastic. That's a great idea.
Like yeah. That. Yeah, it's a good idea, and I just haven't gotten around to getting the water pick yet, but I will soon. That's coming up soon. Let's see here. Here's a question from one of the people that have written in, Jordanos. He says, "Hi, Dr. Bergman. This is about body spasms. I really appreciate sharing your knowledge. Thank you. My body starts spasms most often. Why? I do everything I can. Eats organic, healthy food, 30 minutes workout every day, drink water, and took global healing products, multivitamins for me and my kids. What kind of test can I do, and do you have any recommendations for a chiropractor in Vermont?"
Vermont, I don't, but check out our list of 7 questions to find a correct chiropractor, and then all you got to do is find somebody that says yes to 5 of them. Uh-huh. And so that'll be a good one.
Good,
and
good.
What was the other part of that?
Let's see. The other question was, body spasms. So what do you think is going on there?
Well, body spasms, you got to figure muscles don't just react on their own. It could be mineral deficiency. I mean, that's like the most common. And so that's going to be chronic stress. But you got to look at mineral deficiencies, but look at the nerve supply. So like there are certain muscles that if the head's forward, these muscles are going to be in chronic spasm to pull it out. So people are going to want to work those tissue and everything else, except for every 1 inch the head's forward, the pressure on the disc double. So if it's shoulder muscles, that could be a defense response based on loss of cervical curve. If it's an unstable pelvis, and this is one of the things that drives me crazy, is piriformis syndrome or muscles that cross joints in chronic spasms, because those joints are unstable. They're not working correctly. So spasms of the lower extremity can be from altered mechanics of the foot, unstable pelvis, spasms in the upper thoracic area, or abdominal area could also be from altered nerve supply, and all the spasms could be from decreased minerals.
Mm-hmm. Guest 7391 says, "I bet vitamin C would help with the tooth abscess as well." That's a good idea, right, Doc?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. We did a whole show on vitamin C with Dr. Hunninghockey from the Reardon Clinic, and that was fascinating. He does high-dose IV vitamin C. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we're going to do that at the Mexico Clinic.
Oh, by the way, tell everyone about that, and what's the latest update on that clinic?
Went down Thursday, and we did some more hashing out, because I'm blending the medical aspect, because it's got the dental, so we've got a holistic dentist down there.
Uh-huh.
We got the medical doctors that I'm teaching what holistic is. So they're, that's going to be a whole education process, but they're going to be doing IVs. We're going to be doing blood tests, live blood cell analysis, full body thermographies, complete nerve scans. I'm going to be personally there Thursday, Friday, and half day Saturday.
Wow.
So, and it looks like it'll be up and running by April.
Wow, that is so cool. Do we have a name yet?
But I think it's just going to be holistic care or American holistic care or something like that.
You know what you should do is just call it like health center so you fly even more under the radar of the FDA.
Yeah, well, hopefully in Mexico they don't have a lot of pull.
Yeah. Like, always worried about that.
Yeah, and well, chiropractic's illegal down there or not licensed yet. Oh, okay. So all I got to do is let me see. I almost said buy a medical doctor and use his license, but the docs that I'm working with, I can work under them.
Oh, cool. That's funny. Guest 4655 wants to know about spirulina and, you know, where do you get it? Klamath Lake, Korea, Hawaiian, wondering about the radiation from Fukushima.
Oh, yeah. I finally found one. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, cool.
In Thailand. And this is like a 4-filtered water. I mean, the production facility is out of this world. Energybites.com is it. Best spirulina and corella I've ever found.
Ah, energy. Let me look that up. Energy Bites.
I think it's energybites.com. Is that there?
I think so. Let's see. Energy Bites. Let me type it in one more time. Energybites.com. Let's look that up.
Yeah, because if not, I'll go to the refrigerator and get the package.
Okay, cool. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't see that. Unless they're spelling it like B-Y-T-E-S or something weird. Okay, so one of you guys had a question that I thought was really interesting about the water pick. And you know what I would do? We have a video on our Extreme Health Radio YouTube site that we did with Dr. Stuart Nunley, where he talks about all of this stuff. And so if you look into the YouTube video for Extreme Health Radio, you can get his recommendations for the amounts of colloidal silver, the hydrogen peroxide, as well as the ACV. So check that out, Cher.
Yeah, I don't have the package.
Okay.
I had it on the boat.
Okay, cool. No worries. Let's see. Okay, so here we have a question from guest 5575. I get headaches and feel sick, and often I can see a pattern with the weather. You know, that's interesting, Doc. Is that possible, or am I just crazy?
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. When you're talking about, with the weather changing, you feel it in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you figure that normally when you're at sea level, all the joints are two bones coming together surrounded by a capsule, and that has a certain pressure. When a low pressure system moves in, it's almost like the pressure in the joints want to explode out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get, That's when you get the like joint pain. So moving all the joints will equalize it. It just means that the blood isn't as healthy as it should be. And getting that thing, the blood healthier by doing juicing, blending, and moving the joints, that'll make it work way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doc, it's funny you say that because there's been a number of guests on our show over the years that have said the exact same thing with low pressure systems coming in, affecting the immune system, affecting the virus load of the body, the bacteria and how they interact with the viruses. And it's quite fascinating, too. And it's the reason why some of the people on our show have said, like, if you're ever going to have a surgery, do it on the waning moon after the moon is full and is starting to wane because of the parasite load, the parasite infection, and all of this pressure. I think it makes sense, right?
It does make sense. Well, we got circadian rhythms. It does make sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's energybits.com.
Ah,
so
cool.
energybits.com.
Ah, okay, cool. I'm going to have to look into that. ITS. Okay, I'll bring that up right now. Let's see, scrolling through some questions here. Okay, Cher wants to know, I would like to go to the dental clinic in Tijuana, but would prefer to do a group trip. Do you ever take groups of people down? I have a mouthful of metal and crowns and need to get rid of them.
Yeah, I've done a bunch of group trips.
Okay.
You know what, though? I mean, they pick you up on this side of the border and take you across. So it's pretty darn easy. You just take the very last U.S. exit. Right at the end of the exit, there's a stoplight, and there's a driveway right next to it. So you turn right into the parking lot, and that's where you are, and that's where they pick you up at.
Oh, cool. And then you just you just arrange that with them before you go?
Yep.
Cool. Okay.
And if you don't like running around Mexico, there's a hotel connected right to the clinic. So, you know, it couldn't be easier.
So, Doc, I have to tell you, with Cher talking about this, she's talking about getting the mouthful of metal and crowns out of her mouth. I have to say, I started on this path down as far as fixing my mouth back in 2010. And it was one of the best things I've ever done, getting the mercury out of my mouth, getting the fillings out, as well as getting all four cavitations fixed, where I had my four wisdom teeth removed back in 99 before I knew any better. And they were full of infections and cavitations and toxic, you know, materials that Dr. Nunley, my doctor, gave me a full report of all that. And then I just recently had our root canal fixed. So fixing your mouth is key, right, Doc?
Absolutely. That's why you can't, I mean, we just had a guy with throat cancer and, you know, he had a 2 years, he had, a swallowing issue. And the medical doctors were giving him antibiotics and, you know, antimicrobials, a couple of negative biopsies, a bunch of endoscopy. So all of this stuff damages the immune system. And now it got so big, it closed off his airways. He passed out. And now they say, oh, it's throat cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and sure enough, what's he got in his mouth? You know, old root canals, metal, everything. So, you know, a low-grade poisoning like that negatively affects your whole body.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, one doc was saying recently, going back to the thyroid, we're talking a little bit ago, someone recently was talking about look for any infections that are above the organ itself. So in this case, like if you have an issue with your thyroid, something that you just referred to is something that could be affecting someone's thyroid is if you have tooth and oral issues, all of that stuff is draining through the lymphatic system down to your thyroid gland, right? So that could be a connection too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Energybits.com. Let's see.
Is it there?
Yeah, I see it. Awesome. Okay, cool. Okay. Let's see. Let me, if you guys have any other questions, so we have about 5 minutes left, or at the most 10, and make sure to ask your questions because Doc is a busy, busy guy. And he's always on the run, right, Doc?
Well, when I'm done with this, I'm going to make a juice, and then I've got to film the liver health thing for this month.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then after that, I've got the measles one coming up for Tuesday that I'm going to be really nasty at. So,
oh, man, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, I did a shitload of work on the boat, but yeah, I'm going to be mean again.
Let's see. Guest says here, is your clinic in Mexico going to be similar to Sanoviv? Do you have any thoughts on Sanoviv? I am heading there with my sister at the end of the month. She has progressive MS and is very debilitated at this point.
Yeah, check out our MS videos because the lesions inside of the brain can start to be reversed. You've got to treat MS like it's a stroke, so start doing cross-crawl exercises. She's got to get to a corrective chiropractor. So just by doing the IVs and detox will help, like they do at Sanoviv, but have her walk barefoot on the sand in front of the clinic so that she can start getting more of that stimulation. If she can't walk, then she can just sit there and do cross crawl exercises where she's swinging her legs by hitting a positive stop. And then that'll get more sensory input into the brain to start getting the neuroplastic effect in the brain to rebuild the brain correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But Sanoviv is good. Sanoviv is there's like politics down there where Sanoviv has got, you know, a good reputation for taking care of people, but they don't take care of their people that work on the people.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay, cool. So we got a good question from Leslie. So Leslie Gilbert is, guys, if you're not familiar with her, she is the yogini that has supplied us with the yoga course that's inside the academy. So very, very cool. So Leslie wants to know, Doc, we've done a few shows on this ourselves, but can you explain the basis or the basic science behind a Buteyko breathing method?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so when you're doing that, let me see what, oh, God, you ever have a brain fart?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. You know what, Leslie, we did a show with the guy who teaches the Buteyko. I forget what his name is, but we went into the science of it on that show. And from what I understand, Doc, there's a real connection between this type of breathing and it at least according to the show that we did with the myofascial expert, is that it actually changes the pH and the gases in your blood to be able to dispel toxins and absorb minerals better. It's pretty interesting the way it actually changes the gases in your blood, I thought.
Yeah, and well, when you look at it, and there's like a mechanical aspect to it too, where you breathe in and out through your nose a whole bunch of times, hold the nose, go up and down like that. So you get this response by the brain to desensitize the mucous membranes inside of the nose, so that'll clear the sinuses. Now, when you breathe in through the nose, you're actually heating it up, but you're stimulating the mucous membranes in there, so you're creating nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is fantastic for bronchodilation, so it opens up the breathing tubes inside of the lungs, and it also helps with angiogenesis, which is the blood vessel formation. So breathing in through the nose has a radically different effect than the breathing in through the mouth. And to desensitize those mucous membranes physiologically has amazing results.
Mm-hmm. And what this guy was saying too, which I thought was interesting on our show, was that everything in life is like uses that implosion energy. You know, it's how like sap moves up a tree. And people on our show have talked about how the heart is not actually a pump. It actually uses these spiral actions of all the other vessels and arteries in the body to move the blood around. And what this guy was saying was when you breathe through your nose, you create that implosion energy of vortexing the air through your nostrils and the actual fine little hairs inside your nostril to create that vortex as the air comes into your system. I thought that was interesting as well.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And I mean, if you look at the vortexing of water, mm-hmm. how water holds information, and there's actually a couple of procedures that they're doing to water for industrial applications where they're vortexing it and they're finding out that it doesn't corrode the pipes. It works better in industrial applications. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just putting energy into it. So, yeah, when you look at the heart as not the pump, it's not. I mean, it has a good output, but there's no way it can have the same pressure through miles and miles and miles of blood vessels. Mm-hmm. You got to have that dilation and constriction to help move it through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a whole show with Dr. Thomas Cowan, who wrote a book called The Heart is Not a Pump. It's pretty fascinating.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's so fun. Catherine wants to know, Doc, after cataract surgery, which I may have, I'm told that I'm required to take antibiotic and anti-inflammatory drops for 2 weeks after each eye surgery. Can this cause scar tissue?
Now, when they're doing that, they're opening up a lot of the aspects of the eye. Mm-hmm. Scar tissue, I doubt it. But also, when you're taking the antibiotics, take the probiotics with it, because even though it's in the eye, they're just drops. Okay, it can get into the system. And then high-dose vitamin C, the astaxanthin, all of the regular supplements, just maintain your overall health. And then that will decrease scar tissue formation.
Do you think, Doc, there are ways to reverse cataracts without surgery?
Absolutely, yeah. And doing that pressure with the eyes, we keep your eyes closed and just put little bits of pressure there, will start to get the nutrients to that side or to the eye. And then also, too, doing the eye exercises. Mm-hmm. Look at the eye, because the eyes don't get used a lot, particularly now with you know, computers. They're pretty much just focused in one direction at one distance mm-hmm. for a good hunk of the day. And that doesn't cause the intrinsic muscles of the eyes, because you're going to dilate for looking at distance. You're going to constrict when you're looking up close. So you're talking the eyes have totally abnormal mechanics now, because they're pretty much constricted most of the time while getting the radiation off of computer screens. Mm-hmm. So move that eye, get the eye working correctly, be comfortable with just touching the eye, okay, to get it working correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because there's been some people written some books about cataracts and how that's tied to, like, calcification and these calcium-forming organisms setting up shop in different areas of the body, and that's why we get stiffer as we, you know, get older, and we've got these calcium-forming organisms that form on the eye, and I thought that was interesting as well.
It is.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, like, a decalcification sort of protocol might help someone here.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Catherine, also, make sure to protect your eyes, too, from from junk light, from blue light and things like that. That would be a something to consider. Guess 2386, what's in your daily regimen of supplements, Doc?
Oh, this stuff called Magistrol it's a multi-level marketing thing, but it's a really good product.
Yeah.
A guy, he's in his late 90s now, and he gave it to me about 15 years ago, and I'm hooked on it.
Oh, wow.
Good prostate function. Then omega-3s, sea plant-based mineral supplement, body balance, and then I never miss my chlorella and spirulina. Chlorella in the morning, spirulina in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then I always mix in, well, I try and do it every day, but sometimes I get a little busy. Mm-hmm. Just drop some Vitality C with ribose in my water bottle and just shake that sucker up. So I'm getting 10,000 milligrams of that throughout the day.
Nice. With ADHD brain fog for years, it's a real problem in life. Now doctor wants to do an MRI of the brain to rule out any medical issues. Any thoughts? So ADHD brain fog for years for Cher. Cher, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's nothing worse because you got to look at when you're talking brain function, you got to look at the autonomic nervous system. When you're in a stress state, your brain is in a trench in the war. You're just trying to survive. So just making it to the next foxhole is all the complex thoughts your brain can do. Mm-hmm. So you're in a sympathetic dominant state, which means the adrenal glands are going to be firing off like crazy. Typically, it's going to be slow gastric motility. So you've got to look at the physical, chemical, and emotional stress. It's not the brain issue because nobody has attention deficit disorder. They're in a stress state where they're just trying to survive. So the complex thoughts, the long-term memory, that's not going to do it. Now, the frontal lobe is involved in impulse control, bipolar, schizophrenia. I mean, the frontal lobe is everything that's controlled by the cerebellum. So if you have altered mechanics because of some past trauma, that cerebellum is getting abhorrent firing or abhorrent information from the body. And so it's going to alter the brain function too. So you got to look at the structure. Neck, pelvis, mid-back, everything. You've got to get appropriate sensory input into that cerebellum to control the frontal lobe. And then you got to look at the sleep patterns, bowel movement patterns. You get three healthy bowel movements a day. The supplements for the brain. Okay, so you're talking omega-3s, healthy fats, and the stuff that can detoxify the brain, such as a leaky gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Doc, there's also someone that was on our show recently. He was talking about the blood-brain barrier in this issue with 5G and dirty electricity in the walls and how that's opening up the blood-brain barrier in some people and causing toxins and chemicals to actually get from the serum of the blood. They're floating around free in the bloodstream into people's brains, and that's causing a lot of issues with lack of ability to concentrate, brain fog, and all kinds of stuff too. Just from EMF, you'd never think EMF, right?
Yeah. It's the 5G is insane. It doesn't help the bandwidth. It really does seem like it's crowd control.
Catherine says here at the eye clinic, they had a big sign on their wall saying that blue lights cause macular degeneration. Really? Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're finally waking up. It only took them 50 years, but they're finally waking up, Doc.
That's okay. I saw they're recently studying in Kansas, something, Kansas Medical University or something down there, that vitamin C is good for cancer. Whoa.
Wow. Shocker. You know what's crazy, Doc? When you say that, like we just did a whole show with Dr. Hunninghockey, and he's the guy behind the Reardon Clinic, you know? And the main part of his anti-cancer protocol, what they do mostly is high-dose vitamin C therapy, and they'll do sometimes upwards of 20,000 grams on people, which is like an infusion that takes like 4 hours. And what they're doing now, which is interesting, so they've done a lot of studies on vitamin C and cancer, and they're showing that there's a beneficial aspect to continuous dose IV vitamin C. So they're going to be doing a study here pretty soon at the Reardon Clinic where they give people this new technology where they're actually taking someone, I think it might be like a port that they put in or something, where they're able to get continuous flow vitamin C at the IV level directly into the blood, even after they leave the clinic, that will last like 2 to 3 days. Then they'll come back in, get another bump in vitamin C. But fascinating stuff, you know, vitamin C and cancer.
I'd love to see if that alters kidney function, because mm-hmm. that's pretty darn high dose. If they got the person hydrating too, along with the vitamin C, mm-hmm. that I wonder what their hydration protocols are. They're right on
the mark. Yeah.
But that high a dose, oh my God.
Well, they're going to do like they would do. I think what they did is like sort of like a bolstered vitamin C where they do a high dose. And then when someone would leave for 3 days, it would be like on a moderate to low dose, but continuous during those 3 days. And then when they come back, they'd get another high dose injection.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Crazy.
God, I'd love to see that.
Okay. One more question. Let's do this one. And that way you can go, Doc. This one's about smartphones. And it says here, I get it that you need to keep your phone away from you. However, I use my phone most of the time to listen to you guys, along with a lot of other people on YouTube. I'm either outside or away from the home, and honestly, I would miss many wonderful videos if it wasn't for my phone. I actually was listening to, something at a ball game. Okay, I ran the earbud cord up through my shirt and nobody noticed. Isn't that pathetic? Okay, so this is kind of a big, long question here. I've wrapped it in aluminum foil while leaving it in my pocket, but then I have to unwrap it to type something. And then he says, give me some ideas of things I can do. I know there are a lot of phone cases on the market, not sure which ones are the best. Also, the little devices you can put on your phone, better earbuds are on my list of things to get. If a phone starts on fire, it has to be a bad thing. Okay, blah, blah, blah. This goes on and on. Okay, so basically, here's what he's saying. He's saying his phone is, you know, a great thing to use because he gets a lot of information. How do you mitigate the damaging effects of it, Doc?
There's actually, there's probably a bunch of products out there now, but a couple of years ago I looked into it and they have like a little mini Faraday cage that was made in Germany out of like a silver cloth, but real honest to goodness silver, where you could put the whole phone in it. It doesn't negatively affect the reception of it, but it does affect the stuff coming off. You just got to expose the screen or to type in there. But this way you can just fold it over and fold it back. You don't, the aluminum foil, I don't know how good that would be. But if you get a Faraday cage for cell phones and look at Germany's probably the most advanced on that. In fact, Europe, they've got the type of phone, how much radiation, the distance away from your head it needs to be safe. I mean, Europe is like, dude. <That's> and crazy. Here everyone's saying, no, it's fine. It's fine. Don't do it.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy. It's crazy, crazy. What you have to do. What I would suggest is on typical most iPhones, there are 4 bidirectional antennas. So I would turn the wireless off. I put it in airplane mode. There's like 4 settings that you can change on the iPhone. I'd also switch it to produce orange light instead of blue light as the backlight to it. But some people, Doc, do this, like they'll get a little case like you mentioned, and then there's actually pockets they make now or clothing that have pockets that are silver pockets that you would put your phone into, which I thought was interesting. Crazy, right?
Okay, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's amazing, right? When you read a lot of the stuff on these phones, they tell you not even to put it near your body. Like, it's all there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to cover their butt because, I mean, this is a toxic, dangerous thing. That's why I mean, I never have it with me during the day, but I'm with you on that. It's fun to watch stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. There's a guy on our show recently named Zirin, and he talked about, he has one of the worst cases of Lyme disease I've ever encountered. And in his study to get better, he got into EMF, and he was saying specifically on our show that these things, like, we need to look at them for what they are. They're really weapons against our health. They're not good for us, but balancing that out, you can get a lot of good information, you know, by watching good stuff on there. And, you know, it's a balance, right, Doc?
It's a balance, buddy.
All right, Doc. Well, thank you for your time. And, I appreciate it so much for being here today.
Oh man. Thanks for inviting me and thanks for the great questions. Now I just got to get get to work.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Doc. Thanks so much again. I appreciate it.
See you, man. See you, everybody.
Okay, thanks. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We love you guys so much. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Let us know. You know what? Let's continue the discussion in the forums. If you could tag me, if you can, that would be amazing. If you could tag me, there's a lot of information I could share with you guys and refer to you guys too. So, and also make sure to check out the health database too. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. So make sure to check out the health database inside the academy. We're categorizing and organizing all the information on the health database. So everything will be there for you. Easily searchable. You can scroll through, find it. Good stuff like that. Justine, Jan, Leslie, Paul, Cher, you guys are so cool. Thank you so much for Catherine. You guys are amazing. So thank you guys for being here. Really awesome. We're going to try to get back to doing these every single week, whether it's a members hangout or a mastermind Q&A with Dr. Bergman. So love you guys all. You're amazing. Let us know if we can ever help. And let's continue the discussion in the forums. Tag me and I'd love to help you out and anything like that. All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you hopefully next Sunday.